They called her strong. They said she could handle it. They said she was built for this. Perfect mother, perfect wife, perfect daughter, perfect at holding everything together while nothing held her. In our communities, praise often comes with weight. Strength is measured by silence. Love is proven through sacrifice. Endurance becomes identity. From a young age, girls learn that being good means being useful, being calm, being dependable. Pain is private. Exhaustion is invisible. Asking for help feels like failure. We celebrate women who never break, then act surprised when something finally does. This story is not about weakness. It is about expectation. It is about what happens when perfection becomes a requirement, not a choice. When worth is tied to performance. When survival demands a smile. The question is not why some women collapse under the pressure. The question is why the pressure never stops. Chapter 1. The Standard. She learns early what is expected of her. Not in a lesson, not in a speech. It is learned by watching, by listening, by noticing who gets praised and why. In many Caribbean homes, strength is the highest compliment a woman can receive. It is said casually. It is said proudly. She is strong. She does not complain. She keeps the family together. She endures. We say this as if strength is natural, as if it costs nothing. From childhood, girls are taught to manage themselves and others. Be polite. Be helpful. Be quiet when adults are talking. Do not embarrass the family. Do not bring trouble into the house. Handle it. Boys are often excused. Girls are corrected. The correction is not always harsh. Often it is gentle, a look, a reminder, a warning, wrapped in love. People are watching. What will they say? Behave yourself. Respectability becomes a form of protection. In societies shaped by colonial control and survival under scarcity, being respectable meant safety. It meant fewer questions, fewer punishments, fewer doors closed. That history still lives in the home. A good girl does not talk back. A good girl does not cry too loud. A good girl does not bring her problems outside. A good girl carries herself properly. Properly is a word that does a lot of work. As she grows older, the expectations sharpen. Help your mother. Take care of your siblings. Learn to cook. Learn to clean. Learn how to host. Learn how to make things look right, even when they are not. Domestic skill is praised as character. Emotional restraint is praised as maturity. When she feels overwhelmed, she is told to be grateful. Other people have it worse. When she feels hurt, she is told to pray. When she feels angry, she is told to calm down. Anger in women is treated as danger. Silence is treated as virtue. Church reinforces it. Family reinforces it. Community reinforces it. In church, the model woman is patient. She is forgiving. She holds the family together through faith and sacrifice. Her suffering is framed as noble. Her endurance is framed as godly. Nobody asks how heavy that cross is. Marriage brings another layer. She is expected to be supportive, understanding, flexible. She must hold space for everyone else. She must manage conflict quietly. She must protect the image of the relationship. If something is wrong, it is handled at home. If she is unhappy, she works harder. If she is tired, she pushes through. Motherhood multiplies the standard. A good mother is always available, always patient, always selfless. Her needs come last. Her exhaustion is expected. Her sacrifice is assumed. She is told this is love. In truth, it is labor. It is physical labor, emotional labor, psychological labor, the constant monitoring of moods, schedules, needs, expectations, the constant calculation of what can be said and what must be swallowed. The reward is approval. Sometimes the cost is rarely discussed. Across the diaspora, the pressure does not ease. It intensifies. Migration adds another expectation. Be successful. Do not waste the opportunity. Send money home. Represent the family well. Do not fail publicly. She becomes a symbol, proof that the sacrifice was worth it. Failure is not just personal. It feels communal. So she performs competence. She performs happiness. She performs control. People admire her. They say she has it together. They say she is managing well. They say they do not know how she does it. She smiles. She says she is fine. This is where the standard becomes deadly. Because the standard does not allow for visible struggle. It does not allow for rest. It does not allow for breakdown. When everything depends on being okay, she cannot afford not to be. The language around strength leaves no room for vulnerability. Strong women are not supposed to need help. Strong women are supposed to handle it. When she feels overwhelmed, she doubts herself instead of the system. She thinks she is failing. She thinks she is weak. She thinks everyone else is coping better. She does not see the others struggling quietly too. The expectation to be perfect is not announced, it is implied. It is enforced through praise and shame. Who gets celebrated? Who gets criticized? Who gets talked about? Gossip becomes a disciplinary tool. Stories travel, judgments stick. She learns that mistakes have consequences beyond herself. A bad marriage reflects poorly on her family. A public breakdown becomes a cautionary tale. So she learns control, control her tone, control her face, control her emotions, control the narrative. The cost of that control is internal. Stress does not disappear when it is hidden. It accumulates, it settles into the body, it becomes tension, fatigue, numbness. But these signs are normalized. Everyone is tired, everyone is stressed. That is life. When pain is common, it stops being taken seriously. The standard leaves little space for asking questions. Questions sound like complaints. Complaints sound like ingratitude. Why am I doing all of this alone? Why does everything fall on me? Why am I exhausted all the time? These thoughts are pushed aside. There is always something that needs to be done. Someone who needs something, a role that must be fulfilled. The standard does not pause for mental health. It does not pause for grief. It does not pause for personal crisis. It demands continuity, and the praise continues. She is strong. She is dependable. She is amazing. Nobody asks what it takes to be that amazing. This chapter is not about individual failure. It is about a cultural script that confuses endurance with health. A script shaped by history, survival, and fear of judgment. A script that rewards silence and punishes honesty. A script that turns women into load-bearing structures for families, relationships, and communities. The question is not whether women can carry this weight. They have been doing it for generations. The question is how long anyone can carry it before something gives. If strength is silence, what happens when silence becomes unbearable? Chapter 2. Cracks behind the smile. The first cracks rarely look dramatic. They look like tired mornings that never end. Like irritation that appears without warning. Like forgetting small things. Like feeling distant while surrounded by people who need you. She keeps going, because stopping feels more dangerous than exhaustion. In many families, the woman is the emotional anchor. She remembers birthdays. She tracks appointments. She notices when something is wrong before anyone else says it. She absorbs stress so others can function. This work is invisible, but it is constant. Inside marriage, the expectation deepens. She must be partner, peacekeeper, motivator, therapist, and support system. If there is conflict, she is expected to smooth it out. If there is tension, she is expected to manage it. Her needs are often framed as secondary, not out of cruelty, but out of habit. When she expresses frustration, it is minimized. You are overthinking. You worry too much. You are strong. You will be fine. Strength becomes a reason not to listen. Motherhood compounds everything. Children need care that does not pause. Sickness, school, emotions, discipline, guidance. She is expected to be present through all of it, even when she is depleted. There is no approved language for a mother who is overwhelmed. There is only guilt. If she struggles, she blames herself. Good mothers are patient. Good mothers do not resent their responsibilities. Good mothers find joy in sacrifice. So she pushes past her limits. Community plays a role in keeping the pressure intact. Advice is often delivered as judgment. Stories circulate about women who failed, women who left, women who broke down. Nobody wants to be that example. So she keeps up appearances. She shows up dressed, composed, capable, even when inside she feels like she is unraveling. Migration adds another layer of strain. For women in the diaspora, expectations travel with them. The distance does not remove responsibility. It multiplies it. Send money. Support relatives. Do not forget where you came from. Do not disappoint those who stayed behind. At the same time, succeed in a system that was not built for you. Navigate racism, navigate isolation, navigate work environments where you must prove yourself twice. Failure feels unacceptable. There is too much riding on her success. She becomes careful with her words, careful with her emotions, careful with her image. The pressure to perform never switches off. The body begins to react, sleep becomes shallow, appetite changes, anxiety settles in quietly, sometimes sadness appears without explanation. These are warning signs. They are often ignored. In many Caribbean spaces, mental health is still treated with suspicion. Depression is framed as weakness. Anxiety is framed as lack of faith. Therapy is seen as something for other people. Strong women do not need help, they need prayer. They need discipline. They need to be grateful. So she does not name what she is feeling. She does not ask for support. She does not slow down. When she does reach out, the response is often inadequate. You will get through it. Everyone is tired. Life is hard. The system hears her, but it does not respond. Institutions are not designed to catch quiet suffering. Workplaces reward productivity, not well-being. Churches prioritize resilience. Families rely on her too much to notice her breaking. She learns to function while hurting. This is where the danger grows, because functioning becomes evidence that nothing is wrong. She shows up, she delivers, she handles crises, she keeps things running. From the outside, she looks fine. Inside, the pressure builds. Resentment creeps in, not toward the people she loves, but toward the expectation that she must carry everything alone, toward the idea that needing help makes her less valuable. She begins to feel trapped. If she stops, everything collapses. If she continues, she disappears. There is no clear exit. The cracks widen when something extra is added: a death, a financial shock, a relationship rupture, a health scare, a betrayal. These events do not create the problem, they expose it. The margin for error is already gone. She feels herself slipping, but she does not know how to say it out loud. The language she has been given does not include permission to fall apart. She may hint, she may joke about being tired, she may withdraw slightly. Often it is not enough for anyone to intervene. The moment help is needed most is often the moment help is least available. People are accustomed to her strength. They assume she will bounce back. They assume she's just going through a phase. She tells herself the same thing. This chapter is not about a single breaking point. It is about accumulation, about years of unacknowledged labor, about systems that rely on women's endurance without protecting their well-being. The cracks behind the smile are not personal failures. They are structural warnings, warnings that are too often missed, because when a woman has been trained to carry everything, even her suffering becomes something she carries alone. Chapter 3, The Cost We Refuse to Count. When the weight finally breaks something, the shock ripples outward. Families are stunned, communities whisper, questions circulate quietly. How did this happen? She seemed fine, she was always so strong. Strength becomes the evidence used to deny the warning signs that were there all along. When a woman collapses under expectation, the response is often confusion mixed with distance. People search for a single cause: a bad relationship, stress at work, a personal weakness. This search is comforting. It allows the system to remain untouched. If the problem is individual, the culture is innocent. But the consequences do not stay contained. Children feel the rupture first. When the emotional center of a household breaks, everything shifts. Roles change overnight. Stability becomes uncertain. Guilt settles in places it does not belong. Children learn lessons even when no one explains them. They learn that love means exhaustion. They learn that caretaking has no limit. They learn that asking for help is dangerous. This is how expectations reproduce themselves. Partners struggle too. Many realize too late how much they relied on her emotional labor, how much peace was maintained by her silence, how many problems were absorbed before they reached the surface. Regret appears, so does defensiveness. It is easier to mourn the loss of her strength than to question why so much depended on it. Communities respond with sympathy, but also with quiet blame. Someone asks what she could have done differently. Someone else says she should have spoken up. Another says nobody knew. The same culture that discouraged honesty now criticizes its absence. Churches hold services, families hold meetings, everyone expresses sadness. Few acknowledge the expectations that created the conditions. We grieve the outcome, not the pressure. The cost is not only emotional, it is social, economic, intergenerational. When women burn out, households lose stability. When women disappear emotionally or physically, support systems fracture. When women are pushed past their limits, communities lose leadership, care, and continuity. These losses are treated as tragic exceptions instead of predictable outcomes. The truth is uncomfortable. A culture that demands perfection without protection produces damage. A culture that praises endurance without offering relief creates risk. A culture that treats women as infrastructure rather than people eventually collapses. Redefining strength becomes necessary, but it is resisted. Strength has been tied to identity for too long. Letting go of it feels like losing ground. For families shaped by survival, softness can feel dangerous. Rest can feel irresponsible. Vulnerability can feel like exposure. But survival strategies are not the same as healthy systems. What kept earlier generations alive is not always what keeps later generations well. Accountability does not mean blame. It means recognition. Families must recognize when responsibility is uneven, when one person is carrying too much, when silence is mistaken for capacity. Churches must recognize when faith language is used to excuse neglect, when suffering is spiritualized instead of addressed, when endurance is preached without care. Communities must recognize when gossip enforces harm, when judgment replaces support, when appearance matters more than well-being. Culture is not abstract, it is practiced daily. Every time a woman is praised for handling everything alone, the message is reinforced. Every time exhaustion is dismissed, the standard tightens. Every time help is withheld because someone seems strong, the cost increases. Change begins with what we praise. Do we praise silence or honesty? Do we praise sacrifice or balance? Do we admire endurance or sustainability? These choices shape behavior. They shape what women feel permitted to express. They shape whether children grow up believing they must earn love through suffering. Breaking the cycle requires discomfort. It requires listening when women speak before the breaking point. It requires believing pain that is not dramatic. It requires redistributing labor, emotional and practical. It requires letting go of the idea that strength looks the same for everyone. Some women will still carry a lot. That is not the problem. The problem is when carrying becomes mandatory, when rest becomes selfish, when collapse is the only exit. This story is not meant to shame, it is meant to confront, because honoring women only after they are broken is not respect. It is failure. Until we change what we demand, what we praise, and what we protect, the weight does not lift. It transfers from mother to daughter, from wife to partner, from one generation to the next. And until that changes, the cost will keep being paid quietly by women who were told they could handle it. Until they could not,